Hello and welcome back to A World Without with me, Chris.
And me, Jack. This is the podcast where we get into the hypothetical and discuss what we think would happen if someone from our everyday lives suddenly stopped existing tomorrow.
Yep, and today we're taking a look at what life might be like in a world without emotions.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, no. What? Emotion? How does this one make you feel?
Nothing. I feel nothing.
Correct, but also you pretty much say that every podcast, so now I don't know if it's just you or if you're following the rules.
Yeah, this is the world of without emotion hasn't happened yet. This is just me.
Yeah, right. We can't even feel sad about it, so maybe this one's okay then, right?
Maybe it's fine. We can't feel good about it either, but we can't feel anything, you know. What are the emotions, I guess, is the first question.
I looked up, apparently they thought there were 6 for a while, and then they expanded that to 27.
27? I got 25. What 2 are you got?
They have no idea. I've also then got a further list of ones that weren't even in that 27, so they ain't got a clue.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the 6 main ones, Jack, if you would like to demonstrate when I say each of these by giving me a noise that represents that emotion, this will prove how obvious they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Happiness. Sadness. Fear. Anger. Just a dog. Surprise.
Oh, that was the same as my fear.
Ah, you gotta get a new one.
So my fear should be like, ah! And then my surprise is,
okay, and finally, disgust.
Ugh.
Yeah, there you go. Very, very main emotions there.
Yeah, see, I didn't have surprise because, again, I just, as we did, because we've already covered one of the main ones before. We've done fear before as its whole podcast. And we talked then about how Inside Out has basically listed the emotions, and they have 5, don't they?
That's true.
Joy, anger, sadness, fear, and disgust. They don't have surprise.
So hang on, are we saying that surprise was a surprise?
We are.
How fitting.
That was the surprise the whole time. Surprise is actually in Inside Out. He's just hiding in the back, waiting to surprise us.
Oh, like an Easter egg.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And then, because Inside Out 2 is coming out, and I know they're going to add some more emotions, apparently. So maybe at one point he just jumps out, he's like, surprise, and then we never see him again.
That would be a surprise.
You know what's an interesting thing that I hadn't thought about before doing this podcast, though?
What's that?
Of those main 5, I would say 4 of those are negative emotions, and only one of them is good.
Yeah, you're right.
Anger, sadness, fear, and disgust, I'd all say fall on the side of a negative emotion, generally.
Yeah.
What does that say about the human existence, that 4 out of the 5 emotions we feel are bad?
Yeah, it says very much how the world is collectively feeling nowadays.
Yeah. Well, because, so then originally, like when I saw A World Without Emotions, I was like, oh, that's awful. Can you imagine not having a... But actually, I mean, 4/5 of it is pretty good, isn't it?
Get rid of all that bad stuff. Yeah, I mean, sure, you can't be happy, but I mean...
But you can't be angry, sad, fearful, or disgusted, so on balance.
You're right. On balance, it works out well. Well, good for us.
Because the longer list... Some of these feels like they're going over the same ground. I had admiration, adoration, and appreciation of beauty is 3 different ones. That's one emotion.
I mean, specifically pointing out the beauty part, like, slightly separates it, but even still, you could still admire someone for their beauty, right? Like,
yeah, they're all the same thing. Adoration and admiration basically sound the same, isn't it?
I don't know the difference between the two, if there is even any.
No, exactly. That'd be silly. That is not two different emotions. That is one. That is someone who needed to get to 25, and they were like, oh, we are out here. You know what I mean?
It's like adoration is you adore them, right? I assume, for adoration. Yeah. So you love them. You're like, ah. Oh. And admiration is just like, they're a cool guy. I appreciate what they're doing, but I don't love them.
I mean, we're playing a very similar territory there, though, aren't we? Like, yeah, I think they can fall under just like, I think they're good. You know what I mean?
Let's consolidate emotions a bit, shall we here? Do you want to hear some of my weird, wacky ones that weren't even in the list of 27, 25, whatever we got?
Of course.
These ones blew my mind. Like, some of these are just crazy. Like, these aren't even these are maybe mixtures of emotions or even just... Are feelings emotions as well? They're kind of part of it, right?
Yeah.
I think they're almost interchangeable. You could say, like, ow, my feelings. Ow, my emotions.
Yeah, I do think there are some feelings that aren't emotions, but we'll get into that a bit later. What have you got?
Okay, first up, we've got opia.
Pardon?
Which is the feeling you get when you deeply stare into somebody's eyes.
That is ridiculously specific.
Isn't it?
So you mean love?
Not necessarily. It can work both ways. Like, if you were looking a wolf deeply in the eyes and you were, like, full-on eye contact with a wolf, there would be a bit of fear going on there of, like, oh, God, it's going to eat me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, maybe also love. If it was with a partner or something, you'd be, like, connected. It's like a deep connection, but there is definitely a kind of a weird feeling you get
tension
inside yourself when there's this deep eye connection going on.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can stare someone out in, like, a fight as well, can't you? Yeah, I mean?
Exactly. And that's what I like, that when they're doing the boxing matches and they're, like, having to stare each other out and they look like they're going to kiss.
But that feels like that isn't one emotion because, the eye contact is the same throughout it, but my emotion is different regardless of the situation. So I don't feel like that is one consistent emotion.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I think this list is terrible, but
what I found.
Some of them are interesting, some of them are not. This one we've all heard, deja vu. The act of feeling as if you've remembered something, being somewhere in a certain place, but not necessarily having actually done that before.
Yeah, I don't think it's an emotion. I think that's just like a situation you're finding yourself in. Like,
it's definitely still a feeling. Like, you feel...
Yeah, but I feel like it's kind of just, as you said, a combination. It's just basically kind of nostalgia mixed with confusion, isn't it?
Confused nostalgia. Yeah, I guess it is, maybe.
It's like... Oh, I remember that. Hold on, wait, that didn't happen before.
It just sounds like a really good imagination, honestly. It's just like, it's coming up with ideas. It's called an idea, folks. It's called a thought. Ellipsism. That's easy enough. Which is when you feel sad, which is an emotion. Hello, come on. Sad that you won't get to see the future. Like, the example they used was if you were going to plant a seed, you might feel sad that you won't get to see that tree grow up.
I'm sorry, these are way too specific, because that's still just sadness, because it's like saying, oh, I'm sad I dropped my cake on the floor. That's not a specific emotion that needs a name. It's still just sadness. It doesn't need to be called like cakephoria or something, you know what I mean? Like,
cakephoria.
What are we doing? That doesn't need its own name.
Cakefloria.
Yeah, very good.
There you go. We've got chrysalism, which... Me, I love it. It sounds like a great thing. Let's chrysalism that up. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is the feeling of, like, it's not necessarily happy, but it's like warm, cozy, safe. Like, maybe it's at a point in your life where you're just like, you know what? Everything's going okay right now. Or it is you're in like a little log cabin and the fire's burning and there's comfortable there. As well as the womb, being in the womb. It's womby. It's a womby feeling.
So what's different between that and like contentment?
I don't know. Honestly, I guess perhaps these are like a variation of emotions. Like,
these are just people with a big thesaurus, isn't it?
I think so. But I mean, so far, I have at least felt all of these things before in one form or another.
Yeah.
Whereas this next one, adronitis, which just sounds like a horrible disease, is the impatience of getting to know a cool person. Like, it's when you meet someone and you're like, oh, I'm so annoyed that this is a great person, but I just don't know them well yet, and I want to. Oh, Like, what?
Yeah, I can't say I've ever experienced that.
Has anyone ever felt that before? What does that mean? Like,
that doesn't need a name.
You're, like, impatient to be friends with somebody? What? Like, what? What is that? Like,
yeah, that is weirdly niche, that one.
There's liberosis, which is wanting to be a carefree child again.
Okay, I get that one. But again, I think that's just nostalgia, isn't it, again?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. Yeah, these might just be like the kind of combined multiplier of a few different emotions. Yeah. And now, instead of them being nameless, like, you know, some languages around the world have like a word for absolutely everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I think this is kind of what they're trying to do there. But yeah, definitely I get the wanting to be a carefree child again. Woof, please. There's juska, which is when you play out a conversation over and over in your mind and go crazy with it. Like, that's not an emotion. That's just a thing you do.
That's the name for that, because I do that all the time. That is my life. I play conversations in my head all the time. What's it called? Juska?
Juska. Jouska? I'm not sure.
How do you spell it?
J-O-U-S-K-A.
Wow. I need to know that, because that's me all over that.
Yeah, but is it an emotion / feeling?
No, that's a situation you just find. That's just a thing. It's not an emotion, is it?
Maybe there was meant to be like, you know, some annoyance in that, or like some comfort in that.
Yeah, the frustration that comes with not being able to stop. Because that's, I guess, that would be the feeling I have most.
It's frustration.
Like, sometimes I'll play a conversation over and over in my head and it's just like, can you stop thinking about it? It's not real.
Well, because there's also, there's the whole thing of thinking about a conversation that has happened in the past, but then there's also imagining, like, if you're going to go on a job interview, you might kind of do a job interview.
Yeah, I'm more that one.
You're more the future one, okay.
Yeah, I'm always, like, imagining a conversation I might have with someone, but then I'm imagining their responses, and sometimes I end up getting annoyed at their responses, even though I haven't even said anything. Like, what am I? I'm annoyed at myself.
That's like when somebody cheats on someone in a dream, and they're like, they're like, annoyed and stuff, yeah.
And I've genuinely found myself like getting annoyed because I'm just imagining what they're thinking or why they're doing this thing.
Like, I can't believe you called me an idiot. I didn't.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh yeah. Like,
oh yeah, sorry. I can't believe I thought you might.
That's funny. There's these are so hard to say. Exclulansis?
Nailed it.
Exclulansis. It's the frustration over others not sharing the same excitement that you have for something.
Oh.
They just don't get it. It's like, the show is amazing. And they're just like, eh.
Yeah.
And you're like, but it's so good. It's so good. You got to watch it, you know.
I've definitely had that one a lot. Like, there's a handful of things in my life that, like, you know, like top tier things for me that, like, if someone doesn't like it, it does cause me anger. Because I'm just like, but how can you not like it? Like, I get it not being your favorite thing ever, but you've at least got to think it's good, right? I just like, you're objectively wrong. Sorry.
But again, it just comes down to anger, frustration,
annoyance. It's just all the same things. It's just very specific words for more situations that you find having those emotions in, as opposed to actually having
sort of. So I guess it's kind of that, but also mixed with the happy passion excitement you get from the thing itself. It's like this real mixture of like, I love it.
Yeah.
And then the final one I've got is actually a bit of a paradox here, because it is this is an emotion, according to whoever wrote these, but a fugue state is the lack of emotion. So how can an emotion be the lack of an emotion?
I thought a fugue state was just when people like blacked out and couldn't remember anything.
I think it's that too, yeah. But in an emotional way, a fugue state is when you just lack emotion / awareness. And you're just kind of like, just not thinking of anything.
I think that's a medical situation, not an emotion. I think that's just go to the doctor.
Maybe, but I mean, hey, when you're in like a daydream or something, maybe you might suddenly just snap out of it and think like, oh, hang on, how long have I been sat here for?
I think that's a bit of an over-exaggeration. It's like, what just happened to you? I was just in a fugue. So I think you just calm down, mate. You're having a daydream.
Just daydreaming. But yeah, so that also can't be an emotion. The lack of emotion can't be an emotion in itself. That's ridiculous.
Well, basically, we are always in a fugue state then.
Yeah.
In this is a world with fugues.
A world with fugues. Yeah, a bunch of fugues.
We're all in a perpetual fugue state. What my favourite of these sort of made-up emotions is Sonder. Do you know that one?
Sonder. I do not know that. I've heard the word before, but no. It sounds like maybe the stuff that's inside of pillows.
It's not. It's the profound feeling and realisation that everyone in the world, like all of the people you pass in the street, all of that has like a deeply complex life as much as your own. And all of that, like, just like trying to comprehend that idea that everyone is as complex as you, all the people you walk past the street, it's sort of that like profound, overwhelmed feeling that you get if you spend too much time thinking about that. I get that one a lot.
Right. It's a bit of a head, like, mind explosion of, like, wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've had that
before.
That
can't be real. They can't actually be real people. They're all just NPCs, aren't they?
Yeah. And that's called Sonder.
Yeah.
Ooh. So it's a bit like Wonder and Ponder.
Yes.
And that's your favourite one.
That's my favourite of those, like, weird emotions I've heard, like, kind of made up. It's from the, it's from a book. The Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows.
The Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows.
I think a lot of yours might come from here, maybe, because it's a, it was a project where he tried to come up with names for, like, very specific emotions.
Yeah.
Ah. I think that Juska one, I just Googled it a second ago, it looked like it came from that one as well.
There you go. It's a shame that we don't get to make up more words nowadays. Back in, like, Shakespeare time, he was just making up words left, right, and centre, and everyone just was like, okay, it goes in the dictionary. And now it's like...
No one's stopping you, man.
Well, I mean, I've tried, believe me.
Have you? Go on, then. Give me a word you've ever made up. Go on.
Baroggled.
Which means?
It means to be panicked about trying to make something up on the spot.
You've nailed that there. You've absolutely nailed that there. Well done, mate.
I feel so baroggled right now.
Yeah. You were properly baroggled when I gave you that, weren't you? You were.
I was baroggling before you even asked it.
I can hear the barogglement in your voice when you were saying that.
Oh, I'm so baroggleful. It's unreal.
Do we think there's an upside to all emotions, though? Like, because obviously we were saying before, like, four of the five main emotions were negative. But I think all of them have an upside. Like, there's a reason for sadness. There's a reason for fear. There's a reason for disgust. What about anger, though? Do you think there's an upside to anger? Because I think that's, like, the best one to lose, right? Like, it's a good thing majoritively that we're losing anger, right?
I think so. I mean, there could be something to be said about it giving you a bit of adrenaline and readiness to protect something. Like,
yeah,
if someone does something horrible to you or your family or whatever, you want to be angry to.
Want to go on a revenge mission.
Sort of, yeah.
Liam Neeson on him. Go Liam Neeson. I don't think that's a good thing. I don't think people should be going Liam Neeson on people too often.
Probably not, no. Maybe that was a slight exaggeration on his part there, but, you know.
The only thing I could think it was maybe good for was, like, you know, civil uprising and protest, or, like, fighting for a cause, or, like, all of, think of probably the positive changes that have been made in society of those kind of progressive ideas probably all come from a state of, like, anger at the world or anger at a situation or anger at a circumstance.
Yeah, I guess in a lot of ways, though, I would say that frustration and anger, the only difference between the two in some ways is that anger has a lack of control or about it or something, or thought, whereas frustration is like, I'm annoyed, but I'm clever. I'm going to be clever about this.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, actually. Like, frustration is the better cousin of anger. Anger's, like, wild and violent, whereas frustration is, like, more considered and calm.
A little bit.
So if we could keep frustration but get rid of anger, that'd be good. Because that's a good thing, you know, no more violence, no more murder, which is great. Although, don't they say that, like, the whole thing with psychopaths is that they don't have any empathy? And isn't just empathy just a lack of feeling emotions, really? So are we not all going to be psychopaths?
Oh, no.
So maybe we...
You're right.
All are just murdering people because we can't feel guilt about it.
Is that just that they're completely emotionless, or is it that they can't feel good emotions, or they can't understand other people's emotions?
Yeah, I think maybe they feel emotions themselves. They just can't care that they're hurting someone else or doing something bad to someone else.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. They're not in a fugue state. No. They're just unable to consider other people's ones.
But we also won't be able to do that either.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I don't know. I'm trying to think of walking around in this world of emotionless people, and I just can't imagine what it's like. Weirdly, like, that's kind of the point of this podcast for me to have done that, so I've kind of failed my job here. But
yeah, that was the whole brief, Chris.
It's tricky. It's a tricky one.
You've miserably failed if you've come into it being like, I'm just sitting down trying to imagine it. It's like, you should have been doing that previously. That was the planning part.
You've kind of put me on the spot here, Jack. Yeah, it's like, oh, now I'm going to think about it.
You're so baroggled now about the idea of having to think
about it. I'm feeling so baroggled. It's unreal.
Well, yeah, because I almost feel like we're all just, like, as I said before, like NPCs or zombies, or just, like, walking around kind of in these fugue states. So, like, because we have surely no motivation to do anything. Like, what drives us if it's not, like, trying to make ourselves feel fulfilled or happy or, like, whatever? But I don't know. I've never had a deep chat with one. But I don't think ants have emotions, per se.
Have you ever had a light chat with one before.
I had a pass. I said hi to one before, but he blacked me. Right. So then I was like, well, I'm not doing that again. So yeah, I'm off ants. I have a bad history with them.
Yeah.
But they still go about their business building nests and carrying leaves or whatever it is they do.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're like getting up in the morning and be like, oh, yay, another day at work. Or like, oh, can't be bothered to go to work today. They're just getting on with life. They're just still doing stuff. They still have motivation.
Very productive. Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess we still would be motivated to do stuff, but I just don't understand by what.
The trouble is, when I think of a world without emotions a lot, I think it sounds quite boring and dull, but boredom is also an emotion in itself. So then we can't even feel bored. So what are we, this weird, like, grey, middle, in-between thing? Like,
yeah.
What's the point?
This is the whole issue. Like, it's inherently not a good or bad thing. Like, from our perspectives, it's not like we can be sad about the fact we've got emotions, but it's also we can't be happy about the fact we don't have emotions. We can't even feel like bored about it or like unmotivated or all of it, because they're all just emotions.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, we're just like NPCs that just sort of walk around just doing our day jobs, not really thinking about anything, surely.
Do we even have any thoughts at all anymore? Or are all thoughts motivated by an emotion of some kind? Like, very basically, even just like, you know, oh, I feel hungry. Oh, I am cold. What, like, is that all a thought is? Is just you thinking about how you feel?
Yeah, well, this is what I was thinking. Because, like, yeah, hunger is a good example. Like, is hunger an emotion? Because it definitely makes me feel a certain way. And I can definitely get angry if I get too hungry. But it's a physiological thing that is hunger. Same as pain. Pain can cause you to be sad. Pain can cause you frustration. But it also still does hurt regardless of your emotion to it. Like, that isn't an emotion, a physical response to it. It's like physiological, right?
Yeah, I think so. Ooh, big word.
Because even excitement is like just adrenaline. But then also happiness is just dopamine or serotonin or whatever, right? So it's all just chemicals.
We're all just a big bag of chemicals at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But now we're not anymore. So yeah, what does that leave? Is it just the husk of people, like, so robots are famously lacking emotion.
Yeah.
Right? They're very, that's the whole thing. Oh, he's a bit robotic if he's just go around whatever. But like, even nowadays, they're trying to kind of fake robots having emotions. Is that, how do you feel about that? Is that a good thing or bad thing? Do you want your robots to seem more emotional even if they're not? Or one better than that, do you actually want them to one day have emotions?
No, I think that gets into sketchy territory, because then you've got like, are they real, like, humans? Do they have rights? Do they, like, you know, do you have to consider them, like, the moral consequences, like bringing a robot in to be, I don't know, subservient to us, but it actually has emotions? No, thank you. Let's not mess around with that. That's how you end up with the Terminator. So
yeah, he was famously very angry.
Yeah, I think stay away from emotions and robots. I understand, like, they're making them seem more, like, friendly, like, you know, Alexa or whatever, being a bit more, like, easy to talk to and conversational. I definitely think that just helps with us conversing with them. But I do think, yeah, I think we should generally stay away from it.
Yeah, I agree. I do feel like it's weird to me if I've ever, with like a smart hub thing, I've talked to it or whatever, and if sometimes, or even on a train, the announcer, robotic announcer person over the train, it's not a robot, I know, but it's like they've kind of pieced together different places from her words and stuff. Even that, sometimes she sounds a little bit angry about the place names she's been reading out.
Like, certain places she doesn't like, you mean? Like,
it sounds like it, yeah. Like, she says certain things with such a sort of, like, disgust in her voice sometimes. And I just think, like, oh, I wonder why she doesn't like that particular station stop or whatever. But I suddenly perk up a bit when I hear a what's normally quite a monotonous, robotic kind of sounding thing have a little bit of emotion. It's weird. It kind of irks me. It's that uncanny valley kind of thing.
Yeah. But that's you in, because I think, like, you know, in the same way humans see faces in everything, like, we see, like, just two dots and a line, you'll be like, oh, look, a face.
Yeah.
And we do it with animals as well. Like, we anthropomorphize everything. Like, we just like putting our emotions onto other things. So I think that's always going to happen, like, with someone who's, like, especially quite human-like.
Yeah.
We're just projecting our emotions onto them as opposed to them having emotions, you know?
I guess so. But then with robots, and as they're being developed more, yes, they will continue to make them seem like they have emotions so that they are, what, better integrated?
Yeah, I think it's so they can, like, understand us better and we can understand them, I guess. But also, I think it's just the pursuit of, like, seeing if you can. Like, it's a deep, profound philosophical question of, like, can a robot have emotions? Like, I think there are people who no matter what level they got to, no matter how much they could prove that they had emotions, there'd be people who never believed that it was the same because, like, they don't have a soul or whatever, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I think it's impossible to prove that anyone really has emotions. Kind of what I talk about with the Sonder thing, like, actually believing that everyone has as much going on in their head as everyone else, like, is almost kind of impossible for me to believe and accept.
I can't believe you've got as much going on in your head as I have mine.
I probably don't. There's quite a lot of emptiness just knocking around there.
Yeah.
But yeah, just I think it's hard to conceive that generally. I only know it's true because I know there are other humans and that's how humans work. And I think just the moment you separate it from that, it's just like, yeah, nah, they're not real.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? I would like my smart hub to be able to have like a sass setting. I would love it if she was more sassy to me. I think that'd be hilarious.
I don't want to be sassed in my own home. What are you?
Oh, a bit of sass is a bit of fun, especially when it comes from a robot when you know that it's not like anything. You're just like, can you turn the light on, please? And she's just like,
you do it.
I don't know. I can't be sassy. Yeah, just like, I don't know.
No, I would unplug it and throw it out the window.
It's a bit like back in the day when everybody had satellite navigation things in their car. What do Americans call that? They call that something different.
GPS?
GPS, yeah, they just call it GPS. But you used to be able to download like celebrity voices for that and stuff, didn't you? And like all sorts of things, cartoon characters and things. They would sometimes have a bit of sass involved if it was a particular sassy person. Like, so maybe that's just what they do for smart hub people, Alexa and Google and all that stuff now. They just, you can download like voices for them. And
I'm surprised that isn't more of a thing, actually. Like some celebrities just giving their voice out to do, like, you know, be Alexa's voice or whatever. I don't know.
Just like Morgan Freeman, like, I have turned the light on.
Nailed the Morgan Freeman impression there, by the way. Flawless.
Thanks. I was practicing. Whilst we're on the subject of robots, also zombies are another famous sort of entity in the world that lacks emotion, right? You often say that sometimes. It'll be like, oh, don't act so robotic, or like, oh, just a bunch of walking zombies, like, on your phone or whatever. So would zombies be better if they had emotion, do you think, in movies?
I think they are quite angry, notoriously, zombies.
You're right, actually, as we've progressed, they have become more angrier. The running zombies, the kind of viral zombies.
If we're talking 28 Days Later, they are, I think, angrier than most people I meet. But, traditional sort of like Dawn of the Dead or whatever, like just sort of stumbling, mindless zombies. Yeah, I guess they were much less emotional, but they're always hungry, so it depends where we landed on the hunger being an emotion or not.
That's very true. Yeah, zombies are hungry. You can't take that away from them. You're right. Dawn of the Dead ones, they're not angry. They're just sort of like, try and grab your arm, and if you pull it away, they don't even look sad. They just kind of like, oh, okay then. But they are hungry. Ooh. Okay, well then, wrong. So yeah, zombies don't lack all emotions. They are hungry, and I think that has to be an emotion of some kind.
Yeah, I'm still not sure, because it's the same like we were talking before. Like, you know, disgust is an emotion, but that is surely just a physical sensation to not liking the taste of something. Like, in that very specific, so obviously I know you can be disgusted by something someone does, but you can also be just disgusted by broccoli. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess it's not, though, it's not pain or frustration or sadness, though, is it? It is definitely a different, like...
Yeah, but I still think it's caused by a physiological thing. But so then that's what I mean. Like, I say hunger isn't an emotion because it's just a physiological response to not having any food inside you. But disgust, in some situations, it's just a response to not liking a thing. Same as, like, you know, eating nice food can make you happy, but it's the taste of the food that is still... do we still enjoy the taste of things? Like, if I eat something that's nice, do I still enjoy that?
Yeah. Do we have favourite flavours and foods and things, or is that purely down to happiness? So we no longer have happiness, so now...
Or is it just intellectual? You're just like, that is a good one, that is a bad one. But like, having an opinion on something is surely emotionally driven, right?
It must be. You're right. You can't have opinions on anything. And I guess that must include food and flavor. So then we are just eating for the sake of eating, which you would say is what a zombie does, I think. Though I'm not sure they need to eat to sustain themselves, do they? Doesn't it? Some zombies, they've not got a bottom half and the food just falls out of their mouth hole.
I think they crave brains. And on my earlier list, craving was one of the 25 emotions. So...
Oh, they've got me again, haven't they? They've thought of everything, these emotion scientists. So does this mean that a movie where zombies are against robots would be, would that be a really boring movie or would that be a really exciting movie?
No, yeah, I don't think there's any emotional core to that, is there?
There's just like silently kind of fighting a bit with a few beeps and boops and some groans going on. And it's
some
just...
great action sequence, I'm sure. But also, what's the zombies' motivation? Robots don't have brains. What are they trying to eat?
Yeah, that's true. You're right. And then the zombies aren't trying to control the robots or anything. So why do the robots care about the zombies?
Yeah.
I think that's how it ends. They sort of get to the battlefield. They face each other. And then they both look at the camera and they shake each other's hands. And then it's like...
And then they run at the camera and it's like they're coming for us.
Yeah. There you go. That's where the big twist is. It's boring the whole way through. Yeah. And then at the very end, it's like, dun, dun, dun.
Zombies versus robots part two is going to be the exciting one.
Yeah, right? That's what it was all leading up to.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Because what about hobbies? Like, do we still have hobbies and things that, like, we do in our spare time? Because I think most hobbies are just driven by enjoying a thing, like getting fulfillment from doing a thing.
Are you just saying that we just can't like or dislike anything?
Well, this is what I don't know, like, because there is an objective quality to liking something, like something is better or worse than a thing, that I think there's an emotionless to it. Like, if you were to review something, I think there can be, like, an objective quality to something.
I guess so.
But is it not driven by, like, how it makes you feel? Or is it just everything's a bit dulled? Like, I can still be like, this is a good meal, or this is a bad meal, or this is a good painting, this is a bad painting, but, like, it doesn't make you feel anything.
So we don't have the 5-star system anymore, we just have the 1-star system, and it's like, it got a star.
Yeah, it passes, or it does not. It's just a pass or fail.
Yeah. Well, that might be a nice, easy way of kind of just, you know, everything that fails, you just get rid of it, and you just keep the star things. That's fine in this new world.
Yeah, because, like... just all of art, I think, is just basically driven by emotion in some way. Like, you know, every love song ever written, every film ever made is trying to convey an idea or an emotion. Every piece of art is normally driven by, like, I don't know, a political message or just, like, finding beauty in something. So I feel like we just don't even make art anymore either without emotion.
Oh, but what I keep coming back to is that we don't care, though. Like, this whole episode has kind of got, like, a safety net at the bottom of it that no matter what happens, I'm cool with it. Like, whatever. Right? Like, that's just the general vibe. Meh. Okay. Cool. Sure. Whatever, right? It really is just a... that meh is the word to describe this, the answer to this episode.
But this is kind of actually... this is maybe a bit deep, but my whole philosophy on, like, death, right?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't believe in any kind of afterlife. I don't think there's anything. I think it's the same as it was before we were born. There's nothing. We can't be happy about it. We can't be sad about it. We can't be like indifferent about it. We can't feel anything.
Well, when we are dead, before our, obviously we
yeah.
can.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Before we can be terrified or whatever. But actual, the experience of it. So that actually is, again, gives me that sort of, as you said, that comfort blanket of just sort of like, well, it's not like I'm going to care when I'm dead.
Yeah.
I can't be sad about it. I can't be happy about it either. I can't be disappointed or indifferent. I'm just like, okay. Or I can't even be okay. I'm not even okay. I'm just not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not even. You're right. You're right. I mean, I get as well. It does still scare me, that thought. But again, like when you're deeply asleep, if you sleep all night through, it's not like you remember that time at 2 in the morning or anything. Like it's nothingness to you, right? It's like a blank bit of space in your memory of what happened. Like, do you have a gap in your memory, or does it feel like nothing? Does it just instantly snap to morning?
Well, because we talked about, I think, about this on sleep. Like, I have had occasions where, like, you close your eyes and you wake up and it's just like, what the hell?
It's a blink, yeah.
But normally, that does feel like the passage of time. But that feeling of passage of time only exists because I woke up and I got to feel that. It didn't feel like a passage of time whilst I was in sleep.
You're right. That's the deciding point. It's the afterthought of it.
It's the waking up, which, as far as I'm aware, you don't do when you die. So it's forever that in-between stage of just nothingness.
Unless you're a zombie, which we have covered. But anyway,
which we have covered. Now we're going in circles.
Yeah. So, yes, good?
No, not good.
Okay. Meh.
Not even meh, Chris.
Oh.
You need to get this. Just okay. Not even okay. It's just.
Just, I heard what you said.
Just, yes. Do you reckon we could still cry?
See, because I can nearly make myself cry.
Can you?
Without being sad, yeah.
But is that, oh, I'm remembering something sad which cues me to wanting to cry, or you can just go, tear ducts, activate.
I mean, yeah, I don't have to say the words.
But that's what you're thinking.
I am thinking tear ducts, activate, yeah. Yeah, I'm just kind of like, not tensing my tear ducts, but I guess I am kind of, I'm almost just imagining it coming out of my eyes, and then I can kind of get it to do it. Even now, I'm watering up a bit.
That's crazy. When did you learn you could do that?
Did
you, like, learn to do that? Did you, like, practice it?
No. No, it was sort of, I guess, back in school in, like, drama, they tried to see who could make themselves cry a little bit and stuff like that. And I tried it then, and back then I was doing the whole, like, oh, think of something sad, think of this, think of that. And it didn't necessarily work a lot, but I don't know. Then I was just bored one day, I think, and I was just like, oh, should I try and squeeze some water out of myself? And and I managed it.
Oh, well done. That's cool.
Yeah, I felt a little bit too hydrated. It was just, you know.
Yeah. Just, can we get rid of some of this excess water, please? Interesting. So, yes, I guess we could, because that isn't driven by emotion. Like, also, because if you hurt yourself really badly, again, that's like a physical response. And it's not like I'm crying because I'm sad that I hurt myself. I'm crying because it really hurt. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think they're different forms of cry, right?
Definitely. It's not like a child who doesn't get hurt but thinks did and then they still cry.
They're crying about the idea that they might be hurt.
Yeah. They always feel like they should be like, oh, maybe I was hurt actually. Oh, better cry.
When I fall over, I normally cry. So I guess this is the point at which I'm meant to cry. Speaking of kids, what about parenting? I feel like we'd all be terrible parents now without emotions.
Because there's none of that love for a child.
Yeah, none of that love or care or like affection or worry. I think that all of the things that make us like want to look after our kids and stuff.
Going back to ants, I'm not sure they particularly look after their young, though, do they?
I've never seen a baby ant.
No? Did the ant you had tried to have a chat to, did that have a family with it, or...?
Not at the time, no. I was going to ask how the family was, but he didn't even say hi. So.
Oh, God, rude.
But no, like, you know, birds look after their young, fly away and feed them. You got, like, you know, penguins, don't they, like, look after their eggs in, like, really hectic conditions for hours and, like, almost, like, kill themselves looking after their kids.
Yeah, that is, a lot of animals will basically just completely, they almost die on purpose just to let their thing get hatched or whatever.
And is that like they love them, or it's just like biologically wired into them that that's what they're meant to do? So maybe we would still be good parents because it's just biologically wired into us.
Yeah, maybe you're right. I guess it's hard to just tell whether their emotion is the middle point in that or whether it can just skip from one to the other, completely bypassing emotion.
Because animals can have emotions, like, you know, apparently elephants cry and grieve and things like that, so...
Well, you met a very angry ant, I guess, so...
Yeah, well, it was just it was having a bad day, probably.
Yeah, so they definitely can feel emotion, but it's just, does everything they do be based on... emotions, whether, you know, still very different from human emotions, perhaps, but maybe they are still emotions nevertheless.
Mm. I guess therapists are out of a job as well.
Yeah, now, they're all about, how do you feel?
Yeah, tell me how you feel.
What are you thinking? Tell me about your emotions. How did that make you feel when I asked you to tell me how you made you feel? Yeah, I guess more the point is then you wouldn't even go to a therapist because you wouldn't care.
You don't need to regulate your emotions in any way because you don't have any.
Exactly. So the therapist is out of a job, which they also don't care about.
Yeah.
They're fine with it too.
You've been sacked. Okay.
it's kind of a win-win situation for everyone.
There is a liberation to the idea of just not caring about anything.
Yeah, so carefree that it doesn't even hurt. It's just, everything is just... smooth sailing, okay, everyone's in agreement.
And again, every time I want to say, but it's boring, but it's not.
It's not boring, it's fine. It's not boring, it's not exciting.
It's not definitely not exciting, but it's definitely not boring either.
But pretty much what people are commenting about this podcast, actually. It's quite funny, that.
Yeah, that is the latest review. Hey, it's not exciting, but it ain't boring. And honestly, we'll take it.
And hey, we get that one star review, and in our new world, brilliant, yeah.
Yeah.
Something that represents emotions quite well in symbolic form is, you know, the old drama masks, the happy mask and the sad mask.
Yeah.
That's quite representative of emotions, right, as a whole. They're the two biggies, aren't they? Happy and sad. That's...
yeah, yeah. If you had to pick a top two, they're the big players.
Yeah, 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 definitely. And I never really got that when I was a kid. Like, why would they be advertising, like... these plays make you cry. Like, what? As a kid, I don't want to go and watch something that's going to make me cry. Like, I've been crying loads because I fell over and because there was no ice cream after dinner. Like, I'm crying all the time as a kid. I don't want to cry more. And then, as I got a bit older, I started realizing, like, sometimes, you know, sad movie or feeling scared on a thrill ride or something like that can actually be quite a exhilarating thing, right? It's
cathartic
and it feels safe, but you get to feel those emotions still.
Yeah,
but now I'm fully back to, why on earth would you want to add more sadness into the world?
You've gone full circle, have you?
Yeah, I'm just like, I just want to have fun and see silly things. The news is, I get all my sadness from the news and stuff anyway. Let's just have a bit of fun now. Films and plays, like, you know, here in England, we've got a couple of long-running soap operas, but the main one, probably EastEnders, is just sad all the way. Like, there's just always people getting murdered and kidnapped and this and that going on. It's like, oh, why would you want to enjoy yourself watching that? Like, horrible.
Yeah, apparently that is actually like a thing. I mean, I'm not an art student. I don't really understand if this is actually right. But apparently that is a thing that happens in cycles of like sort of art, is that at times of like prosperity, people tend to make a lot sort of like sadder stuff or like things that tackle bigger issues. And other times people tend to make more optimistic stuff because everything's just already bleak.
Oh, interesting. So it's like they're missing that part of their feelings, so they decide to express it in art instead.
Yeah, because like, as you said, I think that's the nail on the head. It's like, it's a safe way to experience these otherwise not very nice emotions like fear or sadness or anger or whatever in a controlled environment. But yeah, if you're already bombarded with that on a day-to-day basis, you don't really have a desire to actually want to experience those. I'm getting enough of that, thanks. Can we have some more comedy in my life, please? Thank you very much.
So that's why you watch an EastEnders and you feel happy afterwards, because you're not the one getting kidnapped by your father's son's mother's uncle who turned out to actually be your brother.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But when you're watching it, it's just like, this is barely any worse than real life. It just like, it just makes you feel sad, I guess. Yeah. Weirdly, one of the emotions that wasn't listed anywhere on any of the lists, which I would say is one of the big ones, love.
Love. Love? Well, love wasn't on your list.
Love was not on my list. I mean, it's not in the 5 inside out emotions, and it wasn't on my list of 25.
Oh, that's true.
Like, we had adoration and admiration and appreciation of beauty. All of those, I think, fill that in.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was no just love.
Just simple love. All we need is love, famously.
Apparently, according to some.
Also, today, if you're watching this live, is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. Is that what people say?
Happy Valentine's Day. Yeah, that's it. Happy Valentine's Day to you. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
That just sounds like something you'd Happy sing Valentine's to the single person.
Happy Valentine's Day to you. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's all about celebrating love if you're with someone, and if you're not, maybe it makes you feel sad.
Which is actually surprising because I'm perpetually single, have been pretty much my whole life. I've only ever been with someone on one Valentine's Day ever. So I'm prime candidate to hate everything Valentine's Day stands for.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think it's quite cute.
Oh, wow.
Surprising, isn't it?
Tell me more, Jack. This is a different side to you.
I just think it's nice. Like, people always say, oh, well, you should be nice to people every day. You should buy gifts all the time. Yes, okay. Well, dreamland you're living in, you moron. That's not how life works, right? It is nice to have a day, I think, to dedicate some time to reflect and appreciate the person you're with. I think we all live very busy lives, and yes, you should do nice things throughout the year, but it's also nice to have a day where you just get to sit down and appreciate this person you're with. I think it's a really nice thing. I get why, if you're bitterly single, then yes, I get why you hate it.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we were saying then about Christmas, in that we don't do it for any religious kind of reasons at all, but it's a great excuse to have family and friends and this kind of thing over. Like, so Valentine's Day, it's just you like think it's nice that people just get to, it's already a date on the calendar of, oh, we will do something extra nice together on that day.
Yeah.
We can do it also in the rest of the year, but it's just a nice little automatic excuse.
It's just another excuse to be nice to each other and like do something nice, or like, you know, show the person you appreciate them. It's the same as like a birthday. Like, yes, it'd be nice if I always appreciated my friends and family in the same way I do on their birthday.
Yeah.
But it's also nice to have a dedicated day where I get to properly think about them, or, you know, express my appreciation for them, or do something nice for them. It's just, I think it's nice to do that. What about you? Do you like it, or are you a bit like, nah? Because weirdly, other than people who are bitterly single, a lot of the people I think who don't seem to like it are people who are in long-term relationships who are just like, nah, I can't be bothered.
I mean, there is a little part of that. I think it's when I imagine Valentine's Day, the first thing I'm thinking about is a box of chocolates in the shape of a heart and a bunch of roses.
Yeah.
And all the cliche stuff, a teddy bear, you know, all these sort of things. And that sort of stuff is like, come, no, I don't need to be buying like a teddy bear and this and that. Like, my house would be full of teddy bears then at that point over the years. Like,
yeah,
you can't keep doing that. So it's more just a case of the simple, you know, yeah, going out for a nice meal or something, just spending more time together that day than you normally would be able to, making extra time just to enjoy it, as well as, yeah, just really thinking about, like, just thinking about love and your relationship or whatever when you're with someone. I still think, yes, let's keep Valentine's Day going.
Although not in this world.
Well, not in this world, no, because it's just a bit like,
what are we celebrating?
You are the person that is next to me.
But would we even be in relationships without love or those kind of emotions?
I'm not sure we would get in new relationships, but then I don't think relationships would end either. They might kind of fizzle out in the sense of what we think now, because the people might drift away from each other, but
yeah,
there's never going to be like a breakup, you know? It's never going to be like, I hate you, this or that.
Yeah, you're not annoyed by being with them. You're not bothered by being with them. You're just like, oh, this is the person I share my life with.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's just that. So I think everything would just keep in a current state of how it is. There'd be no divorce,
yeah,
no marriage. That's it. Yeah, the decisions have been made.
But would there be marriage? Because obviously marriages are meant to be a declaration of love or whatever. But I think historically, if you go back, marriage is basically just some dude selling his daughter to another dude, really. Like, that's how it used to be. Very
yeah,
pragmatic. The good old days. We'll cut that out.
Sure.
Sorry. But even not that, just like pragmatic stuff of like, I don't know, tax and laws. And
no one would have any desire to have anyone be married, even if it's yourself or anybody else. It would just be, you just wouldn't care.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, like pragmatic stuff of just like, I guess it would save us some money on tax, so should we do it?
Would you want to try and save money? Or is trying to save money a thing of fear of you might one day be bankrupt? Or
Yeah, good point.
Like, I don't know. I just feel like everything, you can always link it back down to an emotion of some kind.
Yeah.
I just don't know if it's the driving factor of that decision still. But, you know, who knows? I don't know.
I think a lot of stuff has emotion to it, which is the maybe the thing that makes us decide on what thing to do. But I think you strip away that, there are still pragmatic decisions to make. Like, I do need to survive. Like, there would be a drive to live, like, as we said, like, even bacteria or whatever, like, they still want to eat stuff and keep alive. Like, it's just hardwired into our biology, I think.
That's true, but we don't know that bacteria aren't hangry all the time. Like,
maybe there's a I just need to eat. Oh god, I'm starving.
We don't know, like, you know, so maybe they are, but yeah, ultimately we're probably guessing they don't feel that way.
Yeah, I think we would still have drive to, like, you know, do stuff pragmatically because we want to stay alive and we need to eat and all of those things. They're just our base needs are met. And so, yeah, I think maybe we would want to make pragmatic decisions to make that easier for us because just logically makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, what are we kind of saying about Valentine's Day in this new world? It wouldn't happen.
No, I definitely don't think it would happen.
There's no celebration of it, but...
There's definitely no celebration. I don't even think we'd understand what the concept is. You're like, sorry, what are we doing? We're celebrating what? Love?
What is love?
Is that me?
I had a little look. Just, I kind of was thinking about, like, what was the origins of Valentine's Day? Like, what? I know it's Saint Valentine and this and that. And I kept thinking about, like, was he one of these little, like, baby cherub people or no? Or what? Is he like, he was a real saint, I'm assuming, at one point in time.
Yeah, I don't think Cupid is who he is.
Oh, that's Cupid. You're right. So who's Cupid? Where does that come from? That sounds like Greek mythology or something.
Oh, maybe. I was thinking it just came from, like, Hallmark or, like, whoever invented Valentine's Day.
Right, it's just a character. It's just a mascot.
Yeah, it's just a character, yeah.
Why a naked baby with an arrow? Like, what's the significance of that? I know that if you get hit with the arrow of love, it's suddenly like you fall in love at first sight or whatever, but why a little tiny naked baby?
Maybe just it's creepy if it's an old man.
I mean, a naked creep. Yes, that's also true. Okay, fair enough. You're right. And if it's going to be naked, make it a baby, because at least it's not creepy. I don't know.
I mean, all of it sounded creepy. Now we're getting into it, let's be honest. Maybe we should get rid of Valentine's Day.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, I didn't know that Saint Valentine's, he was a priest or whatever. And I think they think there's a few priests that ended up being Saint Valentine as well. They're not really sure. It sounds like maybe it's like a Doctor Who situation, you know, lots of different ones going on. But apparently, if it was a single person, he was the saint of love. Makes sense. But was also the saint of epilepsy, which was interesting, and beekeeping.
How do you end up with those? What kind of interest do you have that you cover those grounds? And how do you become the saint of something?
I don't know. I feel like he claimed love. He put his hand up real quick for love and was like, yes, I got it. And then they were like, okay, Valentine, you're going to have to just take what's left now because you got a good one, mate. You're going to have to sit out for the rest of it. And then he just wound up at the bottom of the barrel with epilepsy and beekeeping.
So you're saying it's like a draw out of a hat. Everyone gets three rounds.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He came up first. I've got love. He's like, absolutely winning. He's like, and you are also epilepsy. He's like, how have I ended up with that one? That's rubbish.
What does that even mean? Like, does he want people to get epilepsy? Or like...
Yeah. So is he like protecting people who have epilepsy? Because like there's a... Is it St. Christopher who's like the one for travel? Like, I remember my mum always had like a St. Christopher thing in her car. So like he's meant to protect her in travel. Is it like... to protect people who have epilepsy, or he's the one going around giving everyone epilepsy?
Yeah, is he pro-epilepsy? I'm not sure.
This is what we really need to get to the bottom of.
But I just thought it's funny how epilepsy and beekeeping don't really... We don't celebrate them like we do Valentine's Day. Like, it just feels like very one-sided of his particular hobbies.
Yeah, he put a lot more effort into that side of his career than the beekeeping and epilepsy movement, I think.
Exactly. And apparently he would secretly marry people that truly loved each other but that weren't allowed to get married normally in normal society. But
oh, that's quite cute.
They loved each other and he would secretly be like, you're married, run away quick. And then they'd be like, yay, thank you, you know. So that I guess is why it's kind of even more involved in it and stuff. But it was actually February 14th was the day he died.
Oh.
Which we always do that. Celebrate it on the day they died. That seems...
Why not the day they were born?
Exactly. Or the day that he put his hand up to pick love out of the hat. Like, you know. But he didn't just die. He was murdered. Exactly.
By an arrow? By a baby with an arrow.
It all comes full circle, yeah. That's the action movie version of the story behind Valentine's Day, yeah.
Cupid's on a revenge mission. And he actually kills Valentine.
Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, interesting that we honour him by getting it on, which I think it's what he would have wanted, right?
Yeah.
Is it a good thing? Are we making him happy by doing what we do?
Yeah, I guess he clearly loved love, like marrying people together. I think it's a nice thing.
Yeah, good. Emojis. They're literally, the clue is in the name. They were meant for us to share emotions on the internet, right?
Oh, yeah.
But now they've just turned into, like, a sandwich and stuff like that. So they're not exactly all emotions anymore. But I remember back in the day when there weren't emojis and it was just emoticons. You remember that with the little colon bracket and things? And
big time.
Oh, you could do all sorts of things. Even the little table flip guy, that's an emoticon now instead of just an emoji.
Yeah.
Sort of ASCII art almost kind of borderlines into it. But yeah, how do you feel about emojis generally? Because I used to be pretty against them, but now I've found myself using them quite a lot. I enjoy them.
Yeah, I've definitely softened on them. You know what was the big turning point for me? It was when you could react with emotions,
yes,
like on WhatsApp or like Instagram or whatever. I think that's when I started using them a lot more, because it is quite handy to not have to say things sometimes.
Yeah.
And just be like, I find that funny, without having to really express any opinion.
Exactly. And they've got such a good range of different amounts of laughter as well. Like, you can really actually pick the one that fits what you truly feel, you know? So are emojis gone because they represent an emotion, or they in themselves are not an emotion?
Yeah, they could still exist. We just have no idea what they meant. We'd be like, I don't know, what's this guy doing?
What's that face? That's just a face, yeah.
There appears to be water coming out of this man's face. I don't know.
Yeah, it's more just for like an injury. If you get like stabbed in the eye, you might share the crying face because you show your doctor, this is what's happening.
Yeah, yeah. You burnt your tongue, use like the tongue out emoji, just like this is...
You burnt your tongue and you got poked in the eye and you're doing the winky tongue emoji.
Still, we can still use the sandwich one though. I mean, hungry.
That's true. I mean, it doesn't even necessarily mean hungry, does it? It just means sandwich.
I am sandwich.
I feel sandwiched today.
I mean, we'd have no idea if that's right or not. We wouldn't have a concept of emotion. We'd be like, no. I guess do I feel sandwich? Yes, you feel sandwich.
This is actually a great way to imagine how being in a world without emotions would feel. In the same way, I don't know what feeling sandwich feels like. I don't know what feeling happy feels like. That's the perfect kind of little trick to think in this way.
I think sandwich feels good.
It does feel positive, doesn't it?
I do like sandwich.
I do like sandwich, true. But do I feel sandwich right now? I want to feel sandwich right now.
Yeah, I feel like I could go for a sandwich. Definitely.
I'm just not sure if I myself feel sandwich.
No, I don't think I do.
I don't think I do feel sandwich.
I would like to be feeling a sandwich enter my mouth.
I just imagine the way you're eating with just trying to just feel the sandwich going in. Like, that's such a weird sight to me.
Oh. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
So, how are you feeling about A World Without Emotions?
Meh.
Yeah. Meh. Well, there we go. I think that'll do us for today. Hope you enjoyed listening.
Yep. If you have any thoughts on A World Without Emotions, you can contact us on our socials. The links are in the description.
But thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.